Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Sam Cooke.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning into the program today. It is good to sit here again and to talk about things that matters to civilized people. And I want to also mention that I don't think that I am anything, anyone other than an earthling. I think it's very important that we emphasize that, because we are now being affected by Bible. The fact that a Bible has to be written to fool and to deceive people is a tragedy, because the Bible is lying about human creation. These white people use the Bible and use talking serpents and all this kind of stuff to turn us idiot. Okay? Now, as long as I am alive, like referring to anybody else, as long as we are alive, there is a power that affects us, because we were created to be a human being. Our life is just like the computer or any other electrical gadget that this what we call now this piece of a system that we have, like, you know, television and other form of thing, computer, anything, you know, that works by electric power. Our body is made up with its own electrical system, water system, and everything, our body, but we have to refill to keep it up. Yeah. So is the computer. They keep on sending new things and replace things and to keep the computer going. Now, what happens if you don't have any electricity? It won't work. Well, our humanity must be looked on in the same light, that we were born from the womb. And whether or not you like it, animals and human being, come into life by the same principle. So the same principle, but with distinction. The kind of stuff that is in us will manifest what we are or who we are. Right? So you can have a whole lot of computers, but they are different. But they are functioned by the same principle, right? And some difference with the same type of principle, but on a whole, you got to have that. I mean, you use water to do a lot of things, but it is water, the same water. And sometimes, you know, you're using clean water, and by what you do, that water get dirty and stuff like that. It's still water, though it's dirty, right? Well, life is like that. So what I'm looking at is, I went to sleep last night, and I wake up today, right? You can say this morning. And you know, I was, you know, kind of, when I wake up, I'm not ready to do anything. I have to, like, allow my brain to get set and get ready to for me to go and do, you know, be in the mood to do what I have to do. So what I am looking at is our body operates by the same principle, right? That doesn't mean that we all get up the same time in the morning, we don't eat the same meal or something like that. We have different, attitude and things, but we are the same human being with two hands, and we walk the head, eyes, ears, and stuff like that, right? But we do different things. We have different attitude, but we are the same people, though. Well, we eat food, no matter what we eat, food. And we have a stomach. We digest. Yes, that's right. And then if you're a man, right? You have the organs of a man. And then if you're a woman, you have the organs of a woman, right? Now, listen. As far as I am concerned, once I say that, I'm going to come and find out that something is in the way, because now we have a world where homosexual come in. Look, I want to tell you, homosexual was not designed to live in this world. white people them. And history will show you. They were not designed for this world. Oh, okay. So when you see white people want you to accept them and stuff like that, look, they're all out there killing everybody else when they're in America, behave like, oh, yeah, they're running America and stuff like that. That's why the time has come for those of us who are awakened to the spirit that is inside of us. I'm not talking about church spirit. I'm not talking about Holy Ghost spirit. Because Holy Ghost spirit is homosexual spirit. Jesus is homosexual. God is homosexual too. And it will take you a long time, or maybe you will never realize what I said to be true. It is true. When they tell you about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that is sitting on the lie about Adam and Eve in a garden. Because what the Bible is talking about, it's a lie. No, I don't say that is not about something. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what they are talking in the Bible is a lie. Because when they talk about a talking serpent, it's about something, but that is a lie. There is no talking serpent. So who is writing that don't want you to know what they're talking about? I am an earthling, and I want that to be well known. And what is it to be an earthling? You have to be a earthling. I'm not talking about dogs and cats and stuff like that. I'm talking about humanity now. Humanity is not primates, monkey. It's not orangutan. It's not none of that. Humanity is not hominids. You got to get that straight. Okay? And where we have this mixing up of white people and African hybrid people, that's the reason why we contribute to the disaster in the world. Nothing is going right here. Few things, you know, you can, you know, is usable, but you can't, that don't set us in the right position, because you eat and drink and stuff like that. No, there is a spiritual thing that must be right with civilized people. But when we are gone off now to the Bible and the church, we no longer civilize. In the context of being civilized, no. Because you spoil. I mean, God, the gods can never identify with you if you in church. Because you can see, where did church come from? It come from the Sodomites. Where when you talk about BC era have nothing to do with the time of Christ. Because the time of Christ is faggot, homosexual. Anytime you touch in the name of Jesus and love in the name of Jesus, you don't know what it is to be a Sodomite. Know it, okay? Because you're going to keep on going to church and really don't know yourself. I grew up in church. My parents Christian, but it's a realization for me to start reading and find out that Christianity that my parents was, I'm finding out it wasn't true. You see what I mean? And it affects your inner core, your brain function, your concept and everything like that. Your ability to realize good from bad. But as long as you're a Christian, you're limited to what you can see and what you can perceive. You're limited. Because you surely get biased and begin to think the wrong way and think it is right. You can't tell the difference. Why Africa is no longer functioning as a kingship government. Can you tell me that? You can't tell me that. Why Africa, that is supposed to be an example, using righteous king to rule the orderly society on planet Earth? Why it is not happening? Because something happened, right? And we won't find out what happened as long as we believe what the Bible is saying. The Bible is a blocker of the brain digesting universal, logical, sane and sober things. You're not going to go there because you're going to tell me that you believe this, you believe that, and believe doesn't make you know anything. So why are you telling me about you believe this and you believe that? And then you're going to let me know that I don't know what I'm saying. All right, did you come from the dictionary with what you say? Will the dictionary definition agree with you believing something that you really don't know yet? See, people will stay away from you if you read history and you understand more than what they know. They'll just go along with the academics they know. They can make a lot of money and stuff like that. But if you begin to get into causes and effects of earthling knowledge, they'll all tell you that, oh, you believe in man's word, man's words. Their words are what they're talking about. You see, because if you talk about man's word, what is the context of that? You're talking about, if you talk about man's word opposes God's word, you make that distinction about you don't listen to man's word. You know, you listen to the God's word of the Bible. You're gone wrong right there. Because the Bible don't have no God's word whatsoever. None whatsoever. There's no God that decree nothing with no human being in the Bible. It's not true. Now, like I said to you, when I say anything, I give you the number to call me so that you don't have any reason not to call me and express what you want to say to me. 347-501-358. Did you get that? To make sure that you get it, I'm going to tell you a second time. You get your pen, your pencil, whatever, because I don't want you to have any excuse. You should be able to call me and talk to me. 3-4-7-8-5-0-1-3-5-8. All right. I appreciate someone calling me anytime. It is a very bad thing when I come here almost every day and I am beseeching people to come in and have a talk. Talk what you think is right, eh? Give me a chance to hear what you think about. And let's say if you don't agree with my views, you know, open up your views. Don't be afraid. If you're right, nobody cannot prove you wrong. You know what I mean? Your mind, nobody cannot prove you wrong if you're right. And you talk to me and I am not going to evade anything you say. Because I am talking by the book, and the book that all of us are supposed to be using. So therefore, if we are willing to go through the process that is, by earthly term, the way of understanding, and there is no way of saying that That's man's law, man's word, or something like that. Somewhere along the line, we have to deal with man and what man say. Because man gets his knowledge from the creator, the gods. The Elohim gods. They is not a spirit that roam around and you don't know them. Or like the God in the Bible. That God in the Bible is a homosexual character. That character never exists anywhere but with homosexuals. They got that in the Bible. And it is because they're able to twist the knowledge that is given to mankind. We don't know what we are saying or where we are going. And we are supportive to killing other people, and some people are alive. That's what is going on. You see. Now, nobody is going to feel comfortable when they cannot use a history book and authenticate what they're talking about. Because if you talk about historic stuff and about people, you should get it right. Everybody together, because every learning institution carry the World History textbook. But where did this Bible come from? Where did the Bible come from? Parts unknown, you know, all kind of foolishness. You can hardly find something in the Bible out there in the world. I don't say you can't find any, because the Bible has a lot of things in there, say a lot of things, and if we know the use of the Bible, then we don't go wrong. If you really know where those things that are written in the Bible, where it come from, who write it, and if you're going to say, well, that's God's word, what do you mean by God's word? Now, God is an object in the Bible that people believe in, because that's what they say. You can't disagree with that, but I'm going to drive you into the ground, and you cannot get up until you're able to prove that God is somebody you know and not believe. Believe is secondary. Every given time you go to the definition, that's where you're going to get it. That belief is secondary to knowledge. Knowledge is what run the world communication, not believe. Look at what belief defines to be. So why you want to shove belief on me about some ideas and you're not bringing the knowledge of it? You see what I mean? That's what I mean. So you're making a lot of money getting people to believe what you're selling, right? Because it sounds good. But why don't you bring the knowledge of it and show them the product then? No, you can't do that, because it don't exist. It does not exist. And as far as I'm concerned, life is not going to be good for anybody when you live by belief. And church is an institution that don't tell you anything firsthand knowledge. It does not. It tells you first about belief, because it's a hoax. What the church is about is a hoax. Church did not exist under the BC era, you know, before Christ. That's a giveaway. Christ, evil character. Christ is a misnomer for an evil act, an evil thought. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son is an empty myth, a lie, which that's knowledge, because knowledge is going to tell you that it don't exist, and you can't show the existence of God or Christ, or that Christ come from heaven. And why Christianity is making Christ such a lovely thing, and Christ died for me. And so Christ, they never will tell you that Christ never want to die on the cross for your sin. Kind of business is that? Now, you tell me now, you're talking to me and you're a Christian, right? And let's be for real. Which way you win, which way you lose. Right? When it don't make no sense, it don't make any sense. And I am saying, why would you, the preachers, don't preach and tell you that in St. Matthew 26, Jesus spent like quite a time with his disciple in Garden of Gethsemane. He shared them up like in two, like about nine of them. They left at a certain point in the garden, and they, Jesus and like about three of them go further on away, right? And then he left those three, and then he went a little for a distance away, right? He left those three and went a little distance to pray, right? Now, you listen to what I'm saying. Jesus go a little further, and he went and prayed. So the three didn't hear what he prayed. Now, why did Jesus have to go further to pray? When, you know, what's the difference between the nine that he left behind and the three that he's setting here now, and he's going to go further, go pray in private to his Father? Does that make sense? No, what I'm trying to say to you, though, is not, the high point is not just what I said there. My high point is this. Why was Jesus going further to pray? Now, this may be the first time somebody is going to call your attention to it. I have someone here with their hands up, all right? And I'm going to just two more minutes, and I'm coming to you. But I have to raise this point. Why preachers all of my life, like half a century and more, I listen to preachers from in every different type of way that preachers are preaching on TV, radio, or in church, or wherever, right? I have never heard them convince and question why the preachers won't tell people that, you know what, Jesus changed his mind. Jesus never wanted to die for you. I live as a Christian for almost a half a year, right? A half a century. So I didn't pay no attention to that either, you know. I just take it as, okay, I mean, that's the way it works. But when I start to read and understand the context of the old church purpose and stuff like that, I begin to find out that, but this is nonsense. You know, if Jesus is wanting to save he and his Father are ordained before the foundation of the world. You read that in the New Testament, all over the New Testament, where it says it was from before the foundation of the earth that God and Jesus, the two of them, agreed. They were two sodomites, though. They were two sodomites, because the two of them from way back in yonder, before them make, it's God in the Bible and Jesus Christ, make this earth here and the heaven above, you know. You didn't know that? Yeah. But what I'm trying to say to you, all the thing just senseless, and preachers don't preach it to you. Why none of the preachers them never tell me that Jesus didn't he call off the commandment he and the promise he made, come and die for us? Now, this is serious stuff.
And if you don't see it so, I see it so. Words demand us to see it so. And why preachers are there to preach to you, and he's taking money from you to preach to you too. You're giving the collection and the tithes and everything. And I am saying that you never was told that Jesus never wanted to die for your sins. Jesus went and prayed 3 times in the Bible. Okay? 3 times in the Bible, Jesus go to his father and pray in private. Nobody hear what he says. So right now, does any Christian know what Christ pray and tell his father? No, you don't. And you want to say, but I believe he pray. No, why you believe so strong in something that is working so crooked? They are hiding from you. If God is making a plan for his people, and he has an arrangement here that we know the truth, then why are they hiding it? Why can't they elaborate why Jesus didn't want to pray? Go and say, well, he's like human, and he, you know, is this. Well, he foreknew, and he knew he was coming to be human, to die. So nothing is new. Jesus couldn't come now and decide to back out, because from creation, before creation, he agreed with his father to come and die. So why pulling out now? This is what I'm trying to tell you, that Christianity, when it says before Christ, BC is before Christ. So what are the generations that exist and who they were? They're polytheistic, right? That was the time of the gods on earth, right? And it was not time of Christianity. So why did Christianity come in? And by who bring in Christianity? And who take charge of the civilization things that the gods themselves come here establish? So what I'm trying to say to you, this is hard knocks. It's the word I'm talking about that proves stuff. And homosexuality that take over our world. Look, you're being told to get out. Okay? Because homosexuality is not civilized. And they come to make the world sodomite, and they got to go. Go, I mean, today. Don't wait, because something is going to happen for that. Now, I have somebody here I want to talk to. Hello, how are you? 111?
Yes, I'm fine. If you're speaking to me, do you go by the cosmic... What did you call yourself, the cosmic philosopher?
Yes, man, I am the cosmic philosopher. I'm Timothy.
Yes, well, how are you? I used to listen to you a long time ago. You and I used to discuss issues, and I see that you're still here and healthy. I'm glad to see that. Some of the things that I've heard you say are accurate, but, you know, as they say, one doesn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I think that's what you have become a victim of. Yes, some pastors are what they call, they're in the church just for the money. They call it filthy lucre, right? But that doesn't mean that the essential message is not true. And I think it is true. I think Christianity has a great record throughout time. First of all, this country, which is one of the greatest countries in the world, I'm assuming you're in the U.S., and it
yes.
was founded basically on the Judeo-Christian ethic, right? So a belief in a creator juxtaposed to a dictatorship or totalitarianistic government, which most governments throughout the world are. They suppress their people, suppress, abuse, and murder their people. So in the U.S., now, I'm not saying we're not going the wrong way. I believe we are going the wrong way. But I believe that the principles that the U.S. was founded upon, you know, endowed by our Creator and certain inalienable rights being those of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, other countries don't promote that. So those are just a few things that I observe that I think deserve to be discussed and appreciated.
Okay. You done?
Well, yeah, for the moment, sure.
All right. Where are you from?
Well, I'm a U.S. citizen.
Okay, cool. Like me. Too. All right. So you say we used to chat, right? But it's so long now. Your voice kind of sound a little, you know, like I spoke to you before, right?
Yeah, I said in my salutation, in my introduction, that it's been years ago since we've spoken, but I do recall you, and I just said I would drop by and have a little friendly chat with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since you were kind of on your soapbox.
All right. Now, look here. Listen. I like to talk to somebody who also have a good sense and respect for words, okay? Because here is what happened. The problem between us on this planet Earth has to do with our communication, with what we say. Because when you speak, you are speaking from your inner core, your spirit inside there. When we are dead, you don't talk, right? So your body will be there and nothing. But when you're alive, everything you say comes from within, and you have to have an education, like in words, in order to communicate properly and know what you're talking about. Okay? So when I talk to someone who did not do well with when they do the word study and talk, once they leave school, they use words to say all kind of foolishness, and they never can accept anything. They join the world of chaos and everything like that. So what I'm trying to say to you, I like to go to the beginning of stuff, okay? And because I don't want to tell you you are wrong unless I take you to the beginning of what we're talking about. What we are talking about must come from somewhere, and we must go right to the root of it. And I must not be able to tell you that you are wrong unless I prove it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, good. So now that you're saying where you think may go wrong about Christianity, I want to ask you about civilization. What is civilization as far as you're concerned?
Well, the technical definition of civilization, or more precisely, to be civilized, is to be able to record one's own history.
No. Hold it. Oh, wait. I think I'm getting your voice now. And what we used to call you, it was a fancy name.
Well, I go by Solution.
That's it. That's what I do. Now that you're talking, I remember now we used to call you a certain name. All right. I remember you good now. We're coming from Dr. Heaven, stuff like that.
Right. I remember you, too. That's the reason I phoned in.
Well, all right. Good. So I begin to laugh now, because now I know who I am talking with. And I remember the last time that we were talking, you were with a lady and things like that. So I didn't know that you're still around, Mr. Solution. Okay, let's get back to it now, Mr. Solution. What I'm trying to say to you, I'm asking you about the word civilization. When did civilization came on the earth?
Wait a minute, you're asking me that question?
Yes.
Well, I would have to go to do a little bit of research to get what we would nail down as. Well, wait a minute now. You're laughing. I'm trying to communicate what I know to you. Well, I could just ask you, will you go ahead and tell me, presuming you know?
All right. Now, I'll tell you, right? All right. I can do it another way, too, right, and make it, like, more communicational. All right. As far as your knowledge is concerned, Doctor, think back to when you read about the existence of the solar system that we are in, right? You agree? We are in a solar system, right?
Oh, of course.
All right, good. And about how old do they say the solar system is?
Oh, okay. Well, the Earth is roughly 5 billion, and they say the entire solar system.
All right, all right. We are together with that.
Wait a minute. Let me just finish. It's about 14 billion, as near as they can calculate. Now, that may change because science is a growing profession. It is always adding new information. And if you read some of the science books that were written in the 50s, they're pretty much out of date now because of new discoveries.
All right. Now, I don't want you to go that far with it. I just wanted to get, you know, your recognition of about how old it is. So what you tell me is all right. So you can hold the rest until, you know,
Let me just interrupt you for a moment and say this. Look. Everything, when we're dealing in numbers and calculations, it has an error bar. So we say plus or minus. So roughly 13.7 billion years for the age of the universe and about 5 billion for our local solar system.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, good. Now, for that 5 billion years or so, what has been on the Earth as far as life form is concerned to where we are here today? When is the first time that any kind of life that we know about and would read about in the World History textbook, two species, when was the first time the first species arrived on the planet?
Anthropologists, are you talking about self-conscious? You're talking about human beings?
No.
Or bacterial life?
No. All right. What I'm trying to say to you, we're talking about that the planet, the Earth, has been rotating and revolving for the past, say, 5 billion years, right?
Right.
All right, good. So I'm saying now to you, on the planet, when was the first time that some life form come up that, as far as I know, in the World History textbook, it tells us that we have two species here today. So when was the first one came about called hominid?
Oh, okay. Well, I've heard estimates from anthropologists for anywhere from 100,000 all the way roughly to 500,000, 500,000.
Okay.
But roughly, I'm going to say modern humans, roughly, I think I would be safe in saying about 200, 250,000 years.
All right. Who is a modern human?
Well, what we call Homo sapiens, in other words, the same wise ones.
All right,
sapiens,
listen.
I believe, means wise one. In other words,
right.
The tools, the discovery of tools is why they attach the nomenclature of wise ones, that they utilize tools in order to interact with their environment.
All right. Now, I don't know which World History textbook that you read, okay? However, I would then ask you, the authority for me about life, human or other form, close kind of life. Now, it says, from hominids to sapien, the earliest creature lived in Africa as long as 3 to 4 million years ago, called Australopithecine or Southern Apes by the discoverer Donald Johnson. They flourished in Eastern and Southern Africa. They were the first hominids, creatures walk upright, to make simple stone tools. Recently, however, archaeologists in Kenya have discovered a
call that they believe is from yet another form of hominid. They have called it Kenyatropus pletiop, the flat-faced man of Kenya, and think that it is about 3-5 million years ago. A second stage in early development occurred with the appearance of Homo erectus, upright being, species that emerged about 1.5 million years ago. Homo erectus made use of larger and more varied tools. These hominids were the first to leave Africa and move into Europe, Asia. They were able to do so in part because they learned to use fire to keep warm in colder areas. Now, around 250,000 years ago, a third and crucial stage in human development began with the emergence of a new species, the sapien, wise human being. Two distinct subgroups, Neanderthals and wise sapien, both developed from wise sapien. Now, what, have you read that before?
Yeah, I've read and also listened to experts in that field, and you know, none of that is definitive. And by the way, if first of all, I don't accept evolution organically. I think evolution at minimum can only explain small variations that are already within the genetic code. It may be brought out by the environment, but I don't see evolution, and some of your most prominent evolutionists do not accept the fact of interspecietal change. In other words, a species is distinct, and it has incorporated within its genetic makeup the ability to adapt, but it doesn't have the ability to transform into another species. So a lot of what is talked about sort of, in the absence of a real causal factor. I'll just tell you, I think the Genesis explanation is the best explanation for human origin and human propagation. I don't think evolution will do that. And by the way, the Royal Society of the UK has offered a $10 million prize for anyone who can come up with a valid origin of life theory, because the present one that we have does not work. I've read the Miller-Urey experiment. That doesn't work. That's like saying if you get bricks and the Empire State Building is made of bricks, well, that explains the entire state building, poppycock. So, you know, to come from nothing to something and to come from something to where we are now requires a causal agent. A
right.
Supreme causal agent. Go ahead.
All right, listen. I'm being honest and upright.
Well, I would hope that you would be no otherwise.
I am an earthling, and I grew up in the church. I probably tell you that before.
from age 7, you know, I grew up in a church, Christian. And is when I, like, about 60 years of age and started to read seriously and was, like, warned in my brain to be careful of what you read. You must pay attention to what you read, word-wise.
Absolutely.
All right, look, I'm going to ask you this. You went to school and you learned to read. And you probably read on up to university level, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. Now, when you go there, did you take a class on how to believe or to have knowledge?
Well, let me give you a framework, at least the way I see it. Okay. Human beings,
yes, no,
being contingent, automatically have to have a belief structure.
Hold it, brother. Listen.
Wait a minute. Let me give you my point of view
so you'll
understand.
Wait a minute. Listen. You can't start off on a ground where we don't agree about words. Because words just plain that we born out of the womb and come and start to read. And we abide by the words. If we don't words, we don't go, right?
Well, say that again. I didn't catch all of what you said.
Well,
repeat it, please.
To you, the reason why we go to school was because of words that we are to learn to use.
Right. Correct.
All right. So do I have anything over you when it comes to that?
Well, I don't. Probably not.
No, why you say probably not? You don't you understand that we born from the womb?
Well, look. We have different experiences. And,
No. That's not what I ask you. I am saying to you, can't you see clearly without any fumble mumble that we born?
Wait a minute. We are born or bond?
Yes, born.
I'm not getting what you're
nothing.
Saying.
We have to learn it.
Well, no, that's not exactly true. We
All
do
right, what
have.
Is true? What is true?
Wait a minute, you're interrupting me. I'm just trying to make a statement, if you don't mind.
No, you can't make a statement.
We do have.
No. Listen to me. Look, this is the way you get thrown into the bushes. Look, if
that's your assertion. That doesn't mean what you're saying is true.
Wait a minute. But it has to be true if I'm putting down the way it is. We go to school and learn to read. Which way you learn to read different from me?
No, that's right. But what either of us says has to be tested. What you say has to be tested just like what I say.
How can we test it if we are not on the same level playing field?
Well, one of the ways we can test it is given the existing information that we have. For example, if we disagree on a word, we can go to the lexicon to check it out and see what the best evidence.
Listen to me. I just do it plain the way I think I'm to be treated by anybody talking to me and the way when I'm talking to them. We have to go the same level playing field. If you don't agree that we go to school and we are controlled by the same principle of reading, if we can't agree on that, then we can't talk at all.
Well, look, obviously we learn basic alphabets and information in school, but we also enlarge upon that based on our experience.
Where do you enlarge upon it? When?
Oh, okay. Well, number one, with our experience. Like if you work on a job, for example, when you get out of school, if you're an engineer, right, you learn on the job.
Mr. Solution, you've gone from learning how to begin to read and learn the rules to gone on a job. You are far-fetched.
Wait a minute. Learning to read, learning the system, is the basis for going to work. The education system is designed to provide work product of people who understand the basic language. And if one gets a skill, right, well, then they utilize that skill in order to earn money. That's the way the system works. You know that.
Mr. Solution, listen. What?
Wait a minute, but are you listening or just talking?
I heard what you said, man.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Wait a minute. Listen to me. I mean, look, I am over 70 years of age, you understand?
And what I am saying to you, I'm talking about rules of a game. What I'm saying to you, the reason why we go to school and get an education, how many people usually be in the class? Say about a dozen, right? So if we start at the first grade, they are teaching us from the same, the same word.
Yeah, we learn the same alphabet. Go
all
ahead
right,
and
good.
Develop
all
your
right,
point.
Good.
I want
right,
to understand
all right.
what you're
all
saying.
Right. Well,
if
don't
you...
keep on talking. Don't keep on talking because, look, you are the problem here. You won't agree.
All right, wait a minute. I think that's very ungracious of you to call me a problem. That makes you very arrogant and ego-driven.
No, but you're doing it. You're doing it to me. You're doing it to me, so I have to tell you. It's what you do why I say it. Look, this is about the third time I'm going around taking you to us learning the first class. And you won't agree that we do the same thing. So what must I say? You're a problem, of course.
Wait a minute. I do agree with you. You need
you
to take a
not.
Breath.
You
I understand
not.
You. I agree with that. Take a breath.
No,
breathe.
No. I have to bust your brain for you to agree.
Okay, sometimes I don't understand what you are saying, unfortunately.
No, you understand well what I am saying. You want
not
to
everything. Some of the syllables kind of get mixed up in the transmission.
No. You understand me well enough.
I just said I agree with you. We learned the same.
That is now. You are bent and going on the defense. You. Because you are making things for the way you want to have it. All right. What I'm trying to say to you is that we go to school as a young kid and we learn the alphabet. How much of us learn together in that class? Like about some eight or something like that or more. We learn the same thing, the same rules. Right? We're not about, and how long are we going to be in school, maybe like about 6 years or something like that before we graduate out and stuff like that. Now, which of us learned to use words, but we didn't learn to believe anything? It's all knowledge, correct? It's all about knowledge. And we
No, not correct.
Why?
Well, number one, human beings have to start off with the belief before they go anywhere, because we have to believe that we can learn.
Where did you learn that?
Let me, belief, trust, and faith, those are synonyms.
Human beings,
are contingent, that is dependent beings, we have to be in a system of trust. We have to trust our parents. We have to trust the teachers that they are telling us the truth.
Listen. Listen to me. We are talking about academic rules and principles that govern all the intricacies that people
can. All right,
can
let me explain
wait.
That. So we have to trust that the teacher is telling us the truth.
No. You're preaching now. You're preaching.
No, I'm not telling you that students in a classroom have to trust the teacher.
No, listen.
You disagree with
listen.
That?
You're preaching. No, you're not preaching right now. You're not
I'm not preaching. That's you doing that. What I'm saying is those small students in the class are trusting the teacher.
No, you want to say now in this
Wait a minute. Are you telling me those kids aren't trusting the teacher?
That's not a part of our conversation right now, so don't bring it in here.
Oh, okay. Well, see, if you're going to exclude everything, you're not going to get the full truth. I'm telling you that we start with trust.
Look, this is a solution. Listen, you're not giving solution right now. You're creating problems.
Wait a minute. No, you're not listening. You're not listening.
Oh,
you're just into whatever
now.
It is you're thinking.
You're not listening.
I'm telling you that those small kids in that classroom are trusting the teacher. I was told by my parents to trust the teacher.
Listen. I don't want your parents in what we're talking about. You hear me?
Yeah, but see, you're laughing now because you know that what you're saying is not accurate.
Don't say
when
that.
My parents told me, look, I'm turning my parental authority over to the teacher when I send you to school. I want you to obey the teacher. Don't you question the teacher. You listen to the teacher.
You know, if
you think something is wrong, you bring it home to me. So my parents told me to obey and trust my teachers. What did yours tell you?
Mr. Solution, you don't get it that we are not talking about what your parents tell you, you know.
Yeah, but see, you're missing the underlying reality of what the conversation really entails.
You're getting personal here. You're getting personal. I don't want you to
get
personal.
Well, you're trying to start off with something that we don't have. We don't have what you're saying. You're starting off with autonomy. We don't have autonomy as children.
Listen to me. You're not getting what I am saying. We are talking
I
about
am
words.
Getting what you're saying. Look, I understand what you're saying better than you do.
Oh, really?
You
really?
Damn right.
You got to change the name from Mr. Solution to Mr. Problemist.
Now, who's launching the personal attacks now? Come on.
But you see, the point is, I tried to keep you from being personal. But you keep on telling me about your parents. You're telling me about everybody else. But the world
my parents sent me to school. My parents sent me to school.
But I didn't ask you about that. That's irrelevant.
Whether you ask me about that or not, as an autonomous human being, I'm introducing that to let you know that the argument that you're making is not all-inclusive. It is deficient in that it leaves out important elements, and I'm bringing those to the forefront.
Listen. You have said, you know what? Maybe let me say this to you. You know what? Your voice sounds familiar to me when you start talking to me.
We are familiar. We used to talk on we used to speak on a regular basis. I enjoy you as a person. I know very opinionated, and that's fine. But you and I have spoken at length in the past, sir.
Wait. I'm trying to tell you of my impression, right? So
sure, go ahead.
I'm not challenging you on anything right now, right? I'm simply trying to say to you, that sweet voice of yours that I remember, that when you come in and after all this time now, I think, I wonder at some point, you know, what happened to you, you know?
I've been blessed. I've been growing. I've been getting wealthier, healthier. I've just been fantastic, and I hope you have too.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. What I'm trying to say now that I'm settled in now with, okay, I'm talking to the man. Because, you know, you were always on the top of, you know, like expectation, right? And you remember some of those other guys that we've been talking to. And I would want to know, I wonder if you're still talking and stuff like that. But now I realize you're as sharp and tasty as ever, right? So what I'm saying to you, yes, I mean, I think I feel about you the way you feel about me, you know what I mean?
Right, that's the reason I called in is to just to do an introduction after over a decade. It's probably been a decade since you and I have conversed.
I never expect, you know, because I'm saying I haven't heard of you. You remember Pianchi?
Oh, of course.
Okay. He been by me a few times, and we don't get along.
Well, let me say this, sir. You are not the easy. You're not impossible to get along with, but you're not the easiest person to get along with. Look, I've never had to pull punches in my life. I've never had to kiss anyone's ass, although I am a team player. And I'm my own man. I'm quite autonomous, right? But it's not. And some people may say that I'm not easy to get along with, but I am pretty easy to get along with. I mean,
Look here. I find you to be somebody that I would talk to every day. You know,
absolutely.
You're the kind of guy. No matter what you say, we would talk all day long.
Absolutely.
You're a nice person, okay? Now,
right.
it's a matter of you're a guy who thinks a certain way, and you will argue to protect the you are, you know? And so am I. Right?
Right.
Now,
right.
The thing about
right.
this is my learning from what, like my attitude is not something I learn in school. My attitude is what I create by reading, okay? So when I read World Rule and I find out that human beings are born when there were no one, even their parents, you are a baby and you don't know anything and you develop and know awareness and then you learn to read and you fit in into the world. Now, I realize that we are into such confusion on planet Earth. We've gone through the change from one calendar to another calendar and all that kind of thing. The people are really confused. You know, I come to the conclusion that we will never have meeting of the mind unless we agree upon words first, you know. And talking to you, I see how hard it is to get harmony when you don't agree with words formation.
No, I do. I do. Could I just share one quick thing with you?
Yes, go.
Okay, thank you. Now, like when I was in school, Immanuel Kant promoted the notion of the tabula rasa. In other words, the blank slate upon which experience writes. I accepted that for a time, but then I rejected that simply because, say, for example, the telling of time. I remember when my parents bought me my first watch, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know time. However, I had the prerequisite for understanding time. All right? So, right, I didn't know how to tell time in the formal way. So human beings are born with a plethora, right, of innate underlying capabilities that allow them to develop the skills they eventually acquire. So that tabula rasa, like a baby is born with the ability to suckle. It has to, otherwise it will die. That's an innate ability of the mammalian species. Additionally, a baby in the womb will be startled at a loud sound, and after birth too. So if we analyze that further, we understand that a baby, a newborn, is not a blank slate. They come with a whole panoply of capabilities. We just have to have the discernment in order to detect what those capabilities are. Continue.
Yes. All right. Hear me now. I am a sort of word science process person. Anytime, I mean, you are talking, I am understanding because of the words that you're using. Now, I want to ask you a question and see how we would do with this. And that is, all right, I see what I want to ask you now. Let's say the difference between knowledge and belief by the definitions. Which do you think has preeminence over the other when it comes to transaction priority? Which of these words would be ahead? Is it knowledge or belief?
I'm going to say both, and I'm going to say for this reason.
I say ahead. No, you can't say both.
Hold on. Let me explain.
You can't explain which one above. No, you have to first put one above, man. Before
all right, you have to let you have to allow me to explain.
No,
it's only fair.
You already say it. You already answered, so I can't allow you to go any further until you fix that. I say which one of them ahead, so you either say this one or that one. You can't go no further. I explain nothing. No.
All right, okay, let's get something clear. It's been said before any two people can engage in an intelligent conversation, they must first define their terms. So let's define terms just briefly. All right, I'm going to use three synonymous words. I agree with the essence of what you're saying.
You don't answer the question I ask you. You can't jump the gun. You must answer what I ask you.
I cannot answer the question the way you formulated it.
So abandon it. Abandon it then. Let me try something else.
Well, see, look, you're being dictatorial now, and that's unfortunate
because it denies you the opportunity to grow.
Your program, so you can do this. But if you're going to put things in such a strict sense and say I alone possess the knowledge on this particular item, well, you're being totalitarianistic.
All right.
And that's unfair.
Look here. I tell you what. I accept what you have just said a while ago. I accept that.
Wait a minute, but you didn't allow me to finish because I want to add.
No. You didn't have anything to finish besides the answer you gave.
See, you can grow too. That may be news to you, but you can grow also.
Listen.
It's possible that you can grow.
Listen, it's possible. Listen to me. I am not an educated guy like you, right? But I think you are, though.
You think you are.
Wait, you may be more educated than you know if you will allow me to introduce the evidence.
When you become dictatorial and close the door, I'm just going to share three words with you.
No.
You're being unreasonable, but go ahead. I love you anyway.
I got to hold you to the linguistic law that I know about. Let me ask you this.
You can't hold me to a linguistic standard unless you know what I'm presenting.
No. I don't want to know what you're presenting until you do it. All right, proceed. Let me ask you this.
Yes. Go ahead.
I told you that I learn my ways from reading words, right?
So do I.
But I tell you, okay? And it means there are rules in words.
All right, I want to share some of those rules with
you, sir. Not yet.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, a lot of things going wrong because of what you're doing, because you're not following word rules the way you're supposed to.
You just don't know the rules that I know.
No. Me not talk about where you know.
I'm going to share a rule with you that you'll like if you only allow me.
Right now, you're being very constrictive. Wait until your turn, okay? You have me sitting on the bench that you fail to answer a reasonable question. And then we have to pass over that. No, I still hold the bench until I can get some kind of clearance with you. Okay?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. You're a tough man. And let me tell you something. You need some taming. And
I accept that.
I have to get some clearance where you approve, right?
No, clarity, you said clearance. Wait a minute, you said clearance, you mean clarity, right?
Yes.
Okay, proceed.
Get some clarity. All right, now, watch this now. It is that words, there's something about words that I learned. By the way, I wanted to ask you, did you do some legal courses?
Yes.
What kind of courses you did?
Well, I mean, I've taken legal courses, and also I've, along with an attorney, I've practiced being a private attorney general. I don't want to go into too much explanation.
No, you don't have to tell me.
I was going to share with you three words. Trust, faith.
Before you, no. Listen, before you talk about your three words, remember, I am
okay.
the one who inspired you for one to talk it, and you did not answer my question. Okay?
Wait, so I did answer your question. I just can't be pigeonholed into the narrow constriction that you are offering.
No,
that's the reason
narrow.
I said
because
both.
Because a yes or no question.
But okay,
I
said both.
That, you say you're not do it.
Wait a minute, I said both, and I stick by that. I would be lying if I answered the question the way you asked it. Do you want me to lie? You want me to lie to you?
No, I don't want you to do nothing like that. Listen, I ask you the question. I have the same.
If you ask me which is first, knowledge or belief, if I said to you what you want me to say, I would be lying.
Hold it now, bro. Listen, if you say you're a legal knowledge man, then you know when you tell when you say no to somebody or yes, you don't have, you don't know that you must either say one or the other. All right?
No. Okay, you framed the question in such a way, I'm telling you this. You framed the question in such a way that if I answered that question the way you, I know what you want. I know very well what you want me to answer. But if I answered that question that way, I would be being disingenuous.
You know more, you know a lot about court trials.
I know a tremendous amount about words. I don't know everything. I'm going to take you to a thesaurus now. And the word thesaurus means treasure. I'm going to take you to the authority, but you won't allow me to go there. You keep beating me up on something that is very unfair.
All right, look.
You shouldn't. Wait a minute. In conversation, you know better than this. You should not be unfair. Now, I may not be a match with you in what you know. I don't care. I can learn. I'm able to learn. But I wanted to share something with you. And after you, I cannot honestly answer the question the way you posed it.
All right.
And if one appeals to a judge, if you and I were before a judge, and I say, Judge, this question is answered in such a way, it's going to cause me to violate my integrity. The judge generally would allow me to introduce that evidence, and the judge would weigh that evidence,
not
adjudicature.
You know what? I have done some pro se representation, right?
Yes.
And I go up against like assistant attorneys, you know, quite a few of them when I was up and down and going to church and getting into trouble at the church and stuff like that, right? And I am in court and I'm representing myself. I am a clairvoyant guy when it comes to situation and can read of situation and can use words right down to the needle's eye when
right.
it comes to, like, roll the shoulder or whatever it is. I know how judges rule and thing, okay? Word use is something that I am good at. If when you are asked a question, because words has boundaries in there, why you would use this word and not the other word? It is because of valid reason. If you go that way, what may happen? You see what I mean? So if you did that a while ago, it would be different. But
it wouldn't be
different.
I would have lied to you, and
I would not have felt good.
Listen,
I don't care where you want to do. I don't care where you want to do. It's the
Hold on. You believe in integrity, I'm sure.
No. Don't talk about no belief in integrity. Now.
If I answer, ask the question again. Reposition the question.
Yeah, I can ask you again right now, okay?
Ask the question again.
Compare the definitions that is under believe. Believe is a verb, right? It's something you do. So those definitions under believe. So when somebody tell you to believe something, you are governed by those definitions under believe.
Well,
so
you
now,
have belief, which is a noun, and believe, which is a verb.
Yes. All right. So now, so I'm asking you that in transaction, like in learning things and stuff like that, which, if you see what I'm saying, when you are learning anything.
Yes.
We're learning in many, many different ways, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what it is.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and acquiesce to what you're saying to further the argument. I'm going to say knowledge is more important, but I'm lying. When I say to you knowledge is the most important, I want to let you know I'm issuing the caveat, and I'm saying that under duress. Go ahead.
Doctor, I applaud you. You see what I was saying? Okay, good. Exactly. Knowledge, that's all I wanted you to say.
Right, but I'm doing that under duress.
Now that you say that, you see how hard I have to you batter me up because I was sitting on it and wouldn't move. You want to applaud me too? You see what I mean? Because I know what I was asking you when you asked me to like explain again. No, you see it. Now I ask an astrophysicist a similar question about 3 weeks ago. You know, what's his name? It's a black dude. He's an astrophysicist. Neil. You know Neil?
Sure.
All right. On YouTube, I asked him if when he went to school and do all of his educational courses and things, has he ever done a class where they teach you how you are to believe and when you should not believe? And he said, it was like he was confused when he read it. So he came back and he said, I don't understand what you're saying, you know. And so I went back and explained it to him. Then he came back and he said, oh, like a while ago when you like tell you again. And then when I tell you, you wasted no time. You say, all right, you choose knowledge, right? He came back and he saw what I was saying. You mean like have I ever taken a class? You know, tell me how to believe and not to believe. He saw exactly what I asked him. But yet still he was confused at first. Now, you know, once we got that clarified, he went and I couldn't respond to him anymore. He wouldn't talk to me again. What do you think about that? What do you think about that?
I don't know. I didn't hear
no,
the conversation.
Why would somebody do that? Would you do that to me?
Well, I'm okay. I may not do it, but I'm not him.
No. I don't want to put it that way. Let's say God is watching the both of you and how honest the both of you are. What do you think of that?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Let's say God is watching you both and how honest you are.
Oh, sure. Yeah, God is always watching. Yes, go ahead.
No. What do you think you should say or in reaction to me? Would you run away from me for that?
Well, first of all, look, I don't know what his agenda was. I don't know what his time constraints were. I just don't have enough information, and I don't know his side of...
You can relate, like you and me a while ago.
Wait a minute, hold on. And I don't know his side of the story. I just know your side of the story. Remember the old proverb that a good judge does not render a decision until both sides of the equation are presented. So that's what I would have to respond with.
All right, wait a minute now. When something is limited in scope, right, and it is presented to you, like in the case you and I just had the belief knowledge thing a while ago, and we worked that out good, right?
Well, no,
now,
we did not. We did not. You forced me into a position being a dictator. I yielded to your oppression.
No.
Yes.
You mean you didn't tell me what you think was true?
No, I did not. I told
you
I lied. You forced me to lie.
When you said knowledge a while ago, you didn't mean it?
You forced me to give you a portion.
I know I didn't force you. I did not.
Yes, you did because you wouldn't allow me. See, you could have heard my side. And you could have either accepted it or rejected it.
Don't tell me what I should. Don't tell me what I should.
Well, I'm telling you, okay, you're telling Neil what he should have done.
No, listen to me.
You're saying Neil should have listened to you, so, I mean, all right. But look here, there are three words. Certain words are trigger words for certain people. I like to use three words, faith, belief, and trust. I like to put those words are synonyms. You like to talk about words? That's wonderful. I agree with you 100%. I like words. I study the etymology or the history of words. So I love words, right? And the word thesaurus means treasure, but it's a book of words, synonyms, antonyms, and homonyms. What I'm doing now is giving you the synonyms for a word that's a trigger word to you. When you use the word belief, automatically that triggers you. You diminish that word. And I agree with you. A lot of people believe too readily. They believe too easily, right? But if I use the word trust or faith, those words don't have the same trigger meaning, but they have the same essence.
Listen, hear me now. If you and I, who have levels of legal thinking and understanding.
Well, it's not just legal thinking, because some legal people, some legal people I don't respect very much.
All right, but listen to me now.
They're legal does not mean they gain my respect.
Listen to me. I think you are landing some accusation against me several times in you talking this evening. And I don't bother take you on with them. I just kind of let them go because you do a lot of them. But you don't have respect for word as much as you are supposed to because you're putting yourself in the way of words.
I just told you about a thesaurus. And I could talk to you about a lexicon. Lex is the Latin word for law. I do believe in words. That's all I'm using to communicate with you. But what's happening is you're selectively listening. You're not listening with your whole mind. You're selectively
listening. I'm listening with my whole mind. I just answered to what you said. Right?
Well, I gave you three words. Okay. Human beings, because they are contingent, have to exist based on faith, trust, and belief. Dr. Steven Weinberg, who was a Nobel Prize winner in physics, he said this: a scientist has to believe in the particular field that he endeavors to work in order to even work in that field. He doesn't know, he doesn't have knowledge per se. He believes, and he sets out, based on that knowledge, to prove whether what he believes is true or false. So at the very core of human activity is a belief in some principle, premise, or position.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, belief antedates knowledge. Belief comes before knowledge.
What? Say what?
Okay, I said it twice. I'll repeat it. Belief antedates knowledge. To put knowledge before the motivating factor of knowledge is to commit an anachronism. It's a misplaced chronology.
Oh, so you never meant to tell me that knowledge is first. You meant to tell me belief is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Because a person has to believe something before they even seek the knowledge.
Wait. I thought you have to believe in something, isn't it?
What?
You believe,
wait,
you're
say
supposed
that again?
To believe in nothing as a rule?
Wait. Okay, I'm not understanding what you said. Say that again. One is supposed to believe in nothing?
Listen. You came out of the womb, and how long did it take for you to talk?
Oh, I don't know. I probably was precocious.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Whatever kids begin to speak at. But go ahead. Make your point. I want to hear the essence of what you're saying. I don't want to get tied up in minutia.
Listen. You know what I find out? You don't know some fundamental thing you're supposed to do to talk with a guy like me.
Well, it may be the other way around, possibly.
Prove it. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Prove it.
Well, it's what I was saying before, is that human beings being contingent means dependent. We can't know everything. Take, for example, science, and I have a background in science. Science and I love science, by the way, but science can't answer the fundamental questions of a child. Where did we come from? What's our purpose? And where are we going? Science can't answer that. It takes philosophy. By the way, science came out of theology. Both philosophy and science, especially the modern-day scientific method, Galileo, Kepler, Newton, all of them were Christians, by the way. And Isaac Newton wrote more about theology than he did about science.
All right.
Are you cognizant of that?
All right. You know what? I think we need to, deal with something that will...
Wait a minute. Answer my question before you go on. Are you aware that Isaac Newton, the father of the modern-day scientific method, wrote more about theology than he did about science? I'm just asking, are you aware of that?
That's subjective. And that's subjective because...
Well, it's not subjective amongst people who know it. Say, for example,
Neil
deGrasse Tyson, the guy that you just mentioned.
He said it.
I can get you a YouTube clip of him saying that.
No. Listen to me. I'm saying to you, that question that you're telling me, it's coming from somebody that is so subjective.
Yeah.
You don't ask questions from somebody who is not a universal authority.
Wait a minute, hold on. It's not subjective because they have his writings.
Listen,
The Principia, for example, the Principia Mathematical, not Friolis.
That person you're asking me about. What bloodline is he?
Huh?
What bloodline is Isaac Newton?
What do you mean, what bloodline?
No. You're skylocking, man. Look, you need to come to my ABC classes.
Oh, wait a minute, hold on. Maybe I do and maybe I don't, but...
I like you,
boy. Isaac Newton is... I hear you have here China. You talked about China with 1250 B.C. Now, see, China is interesting because China didn't have an idea of one God. And they say the difference... Now, I've listened to theologians and scientists talk about this. And they say the reason the Chinese didn't develop the modern scientific method, even though they are an older culture, and that the Western culture did, is because they believed in law in nature, and therefore there was a lawgiver, and that was the impetus or the motivation to uncover or discover the laws of nature. Now, the biggest law of nature is not spoken of most of the time, and that's consciousness. Consciousness is the law that all the other laws are filtered through. So we have the four laws of nature, right? You have the strong and weak nuclear force, gravity, and electromagnetism, right? But there's the other law that scientists are basically absolutely dumbfounded, consciousness. They don't know what consciousness is.
But you're going too far now because, you see, I only wanted to know, to let you know that the question you asked me is subjective because it's not from a universal person and from the correct people to, you use them as an authority.
Well, let me give you another one. Okay, fine. Although I disagree with you vehemently that's not relevant.
Can.
I'll
but
give
I mean,
you another
you
one.
You have to
I'll give you another one. Here's another one. The rationality of the human mind is not a scientific proof. It is a presupposition, an assumption that all scientists must make. That is, the human mind or brain is rational.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's a belief.
Look.
They can't prove that. Science is science is permeated with beliefs that they can't prove. And that's one of the major beliefs right there. The rationality of the human mind. Now, we know all human minds are not rational.
You know
right?
what? Look, you know what is wrong right now? I find out that you don't know who a human is. You.
Really?
That's a big problem. You don't know who a human is. Tell me who a human is. If I am wrong, prove it to me.
We're talking, obviously, about Homo sapiens. And we're talking about the human brain.
Hold it. All right, good. You said something good a while ago, right? And I'm going to build on what you said, right? Watch this. Watch this now. I ask you what species, what bloodline that guy came from, right?
Yes,
Isaac
you did.
Isaac Newton. Do you know what bloodline he's from?
Human.
What species?
Human.
Huh?
The human species. You
what
can't hear
name?
Me very well.
What is the name? What is the name?
I just said human.
Human is a species? Are you sure?
It isn't.
Look here.
Let me tell you this. In science, they talk about human exceptionalism. Human exceptionalism, which basically...
No, don't tell me about science. We want your knowledge, man.
Wait a minute. Science is knowledge. The word science, it comes from the word Greek. I believe it's gnosis. Okay.
Don't put me for sit down back, Mr. Noam. I'm asking you about your knowledge now. You give me this guy, so you must know about him. I know where
I'm telling you. You may have some idiosyncrasy that you want to explain. Go ahead. But I'm telling you, the most complex organ in the universe is the human brain, about 3.5 pounds.
All right,
that's
all right.
The most complex organ known in nature.
Because if you take example
how great the sun is, it powers the solar system. However, the sun doesn't have consciousness.
Right,
it doesn't know it's there. We know it's there. So the human brain, as defined by science, is the definite article. Is the most complex organ in the entire universe.
Why are you going down there? Why are you going over there for?
Because it is the beginning of all that we're talking about.
From the human mind comes consciousness. Legal knowledge, man. You don't flip-flop like that. When I ask you a real question, stand up and answer.
That's the foundation of knowledge. That's what I'm explaining to you.
No, you're playing around.
No. You might consider it playing around.
Tell me what the man blood is, man. You're telling me human.
Okay, look, evidently you have some little idiosyncrasy.
No, you go ahead and tell me. You're being personal right now.
No, I'm not. I'm saying I've given you my answer. I've said Homo sapiens, human beings, being the species, human exceptionalism. Now,
that's
if you have some additional information, please share it.
That's not good enough.
Well, you can say it's not good enough. It's gotten me a long ways, I tell you that.
All right.
I'm living a very happy life with what I know.
All right. You can look here. I mean, a lot of people happy when them should be sad, you know?
Well, listen here. Instead of beating around the bush, why don't you just tell me?
Not that way.
Is it a secret? Is it a secret?
Hey,
are you playing a game?
Look here. You're a nice guy, you know. You're a very, very nice guy.
Right. And I'm a guy with integrity, too.
I do know, but look here. You have some ways there that you need to, like, really, brush them up, you see.
Well, all of us do. You, too.
Are you concerned about yourself? Because you're creating a problem, Mr. Solution.
No. What I'm doing is I'm expanding the horizon. See, you see things oftentimes. In a very and I'm not saying you're incorrect.
You're going negative. You're going negative.
I'm going factual. Factual is different. Sometimes you're incomplete. Well, why are you laughing? Okay, fine.
I have to laugh.
You're laughing at me. All right. When I gave you three words. You didn't even see what you don't like to do. You're very egocentric. You're a man who is very ego driven. I like you anyway, but you're very ego driven.
But do you know
what
when
I
you're
said
wrong
to
in
you?
Anything? Do you,
you
know
like
when
to
you're
use
wrong?
The word belief? Now, what
do
I did is I mitigated that because I know that's a trigger word for you. So I brought in synonymous words, the word trust and the word – you believe in trust, right?
Do you know
you believe that
from?
Some things are trustworthy, correct?
No.
Do you believe
you
that?
You like to throw me off. You like to put me off what we're talking about. We're talking about
you. Not putting you off. I'm very much relevant.
But you often can only see things in a very narrow perspective.
That's very narrow, the way you are viewing things. I'm giving you two other words that are synonymous with the word belief, and you are dodging that.
All right.
You don't want to acknowledge other people's truths.
Look here. You say I'm dodging, but I have confidence more than you do in this world is a textbook. And when I read this to you, if you had a greater book, you should have introduce it to me. Do you have one?
Well, I'm sorry. Say that again, please.
This World History textbook that I just read to you from about way back 5 billion years coming right on to where we are. I read from it to you a while ago. World History, Glenn Coe, National Geographic. Do you have a greater World History textbook than this one?
Well, I've read hundreds of textbooks. I could certainly find one.
I did not ask you that, my friend.
Wait a minute. Hold it. I could find a textbook or an expert on that subject.
Most of the past is difficult to nail down because it's not repeatable. No,
okay?
Not today.
So you'll find experts that vary quite a bit. But
not
those variations don't have to impact our present evaluation of reality.
Doctor Solution, let me say.
Because wait a minute, we're not living a million years ago. We're living now.
Doctor.
We can deal with the here and the now, or we should be able to.
So, Doctor, the past is not relevant for you, right?
No, you're putting words in my mouth.
I'm asking
Don't do
you.
That.
How am I putting it in your mouth when I'm asking you the question?
Wait a minute, I didn't say that. What you're doing is you're totally misrepresenting what I said. I said that many things of the past is unlike science. Unless we have an accurate, written, recorded source for the past, and nobody viewed much of the past that we're talking about, especially when we're talking about animal transformation, animal formation, animal propagation, and all of that, nobody was there to view that.
Let me ask you a question, because I think that...
Let me just finish the point. We at best have a sketchy view of some of the things that happened in the past that we can't observe today. And I'm not totally discounting that, but I'm saying that has to be taken with a grain of salt, is all I'm saying.
But we are not there talking about that. Look at the things we are talking about, and you're shifting off from them.
No, but go ahead. What am I shifting away from? What am I shifting from? Please tell me.
I was asking you about the bloodline, where that guy came from, that you were citing him to me. Okay?
Yeah, and I told you a human being, and you wouldn't – see, you're not forthcoming. You're not acting like a good teacher.
But imagine
if we were in a classroom and you asked me the same question, and then you became dodgy the way you are now.
Doctor,
right? You wouldn't be teaching the class very well.
Doctor, listen. I ask you...
Well, no. You're the doctor.
Line.
I'll give you the distinction of being the doctor. So you're the doctor. You're the esteemed doctor, not me.
Look, I call a lot of people credible name, whether or not they went to a school or not. But, you know, I mean, it sounds nice and everything like that. I'm not mocking you when I say that. Right?
Well, I only attended graduate school, and I would prefer that you reserve that title for yourself. I appreciate it, but I defer. I defer to you.
And the reason why you are deferring is because of what?
Well, you have the program. You've talked on these subjects. And obviously you have some eclectic information that I don't have, and you're very coy. You won't share it. You asked me about a bloodline. I gave you some palpable information that I have, human being, Homo sapien, and you keep asking. Look, all human beings came from one pair. That's what I believe. I didn't see it happening, but all the evidence points to that. Paleontological evidence, the archaeological evidence, just all of history really points to all of us having come from one fertile human pair. That's what I believe.
Let's say we are talking, we are on radio right now, right? People are hearing us all around the world, bro, right? And
presumably.
I have the data that as long as the Black Talk Radio is not pulling my plug today, because they do it all the time.
Okay, I'll trust you on that. Proceed.
All right. What I'm trying to say, when people listen to us, now, I read to you from a world history textbook that I consider to be, if you go to university, college, and stuff like that, this is the world information book that they have here, that there is no greater one at this time, and the edition and stuff like that. This is edition 2004, and it's published 2004, and the edition is number 2. I mean, Glencoe National Geographic.
I'll go ahead and believe what you're saying based on what I believe your integrity to be. So that's issue for our conversation
I
believe.
I don't ask people to believe in anything I say. I tell people, don't believe what I say. Go check it out yourself.
I don't have the book here before me. I can't check it out right now. So for the time being, I'm going to believe you. Is that okay?
You can just hold it as a possible knowledge, but you have
okay,
all
right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to believe it as a possible knowledge.
No, but what I'm trying to tell you, it's not appropriate for you to believe in what you are not sure of.
Well, okay, I'm going to trust. Can I trust you?
No, because it's still belief.
Wait a minute. Hold it. I can't trust you?
But it's not that you cannot trust me, but it's the trust.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to ask you a direct question, sir. Answer. Please answer. Can
you
be
trusted? You can trust in nothing, too. You can believe in nothing, too.
Okay. All right.
So you see what you have getting from it? When you have other option that you won't put nothing on the line. When you're believing and trusting, you're putting something on the line, whether it's going to be a problem or not.
I think it was Ronald Reagan that says, trust but verify. But
no,
look here, the way
Reagan.
You
Who
are put,
Reagan?
Human beings are not constructed the way
don't
that
you... Don't
tell
me about Reagan. Reagan is not an authority.
Hey, man, hold on. Just use that as an example for a truth. What I'm saying to you, what you are demanding of human beings is inhuman. What you are attempting to demand of human beings is not human.
You're safer with what I'm saying if you know the words them that I'm using and what is in the words. You will agree with me that when you just have knowledge of the thing, you will never lose with the knowledge because you know. But if you start believing and trusting, you're basically, most time, depending on what it is, putting something on the line.
Right. Basically, you have the right idea. I just think you are carrying the idea to an unnecessary extreme.
It's right? Is it right?
Excuse me?
saying that I'm taking it to a higher level, but is it right?
Well, what you're saying is, yes, what you're saying has an accuracy base, but you're asking you're asking human beings to be automatons or robots.
Do you want to have less than accuracy?
No, I don't. But that doesn't mean that less than accurate is not realistic.
Why don't you agree with me then? You should be glad that I'm doing it.
I agree. No. Listen, you're not listening. That's one of the problems. I agree with you, but you are being unrealistic. Most people do not seek accuracy nearly to the level that you are professing, nor do they have to. Do I like accuracy? Absolutely. I probably like accuracy more than you, reasonably. Oh, no.
You're rolling.
I probably like accuracy far more than you.
You know,
but
you
at
know
the
what?
Same time, I have to present a realistic picture.
You know
I'm a
happened?
Computer, but I'm not just a computer. I'm more. I'm a human being.
If
and so
I
what
say,
you do is you attempt to take the human element out of being a human being.
Let me ask you a question. In history, our power of certification as to say you are a human, what source would you use to prove that you are a human?
Well, okay. Human beings have to also operate, and I know this is going to blow a fuse in you, so get your circuit breaker ready. Human beings also are creatures of revelation. There are things that we can't know. Now, I listen to some of the most prominent scientists in the world, and they even acknowledge there's probably a limit to science. There's a limit to what science can know. And they say we may be at that limit now in terms of the fundamentals. Now, we'll develop more things, upon the fundamentals that we have now. There won't be any breakthroughs. All those things will just stem from our existing knowledge base.
You know,
I enjoy speaking to a guy like you when I ultimately hear where you're coming from because it helps me to relax a little bit because I know you're pushing the extreme. And I say most humans don't live at extremes. They live somewhere, in the moderate.
Now, when I call you a doctor, I relax better. But now you like telling me, no, don't go there. No.
So reserve that for yourself. You know, I have attended graduate school. I acknowledge that. But I graduate and undergraduate, of course. And I love education. I keep abreast of the Ivy League universities and students that attend them. I like to look at how successful they are. Because all of my knowledge, sir, I like to translate it into palpable reality. In other words, I like to get a benefit from it. I go through my knowledge closet often and clear it out because it does get a little bit cluttered from time to time.
Hey, listen, if I say I don't like to talk to you, I would be lying.
Well, same here. I enjoy speaking with you. That's the reason I dropped by. I've listened to you prior to this.
Why you take so long?
Well, I get busy. See, I have to go out and develop new revenue streams, and that takes time.
I see what
you know, we have inflation now. I don't know if you talk about other than grand historic issues, but I have to deal with inflation. I have to, you know, like Robert Kiyosaki, I love one of the premises that he promoted, and that is developing new formulae for dealing with present issues. Sure, I have some good issues in place, but I like new formulae. Health, the primary areas that I focus on are health, relationship, and finances. And also I love getting into theology, philosophy, and the sciences. I have a science background, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a certificate in electrical and mechanical engineering, and I worked in a laboratory in non-destructive testing for over a decade, let's put it that way. I have both people skills. I've worked in the secondary and tertiary sectors, right? So I'm sort of ambidextrous in that particular sense, and I can fit in both fields pretty well.
Let me ask you this question. All right, you came in today, and you 1-1-1. There are a lot of other people that come in, and they come in 1-1-1, right? And
yes.
And I didn't, you didn't come across my mind because, 10 years or so now, it doesn't feel like you're around, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I want to ask you, how do you feel come in? I don't know it's you. And what about my timing that it takes for me to get around to you? Let's say, you know, this is somebody you didn't know and stuff like that. And did I take too long to, like, take you on?
Oh, no, you were fine. No, I have no – I'm a patient person. I've learned patience.
Apart from you being patient, what I mean is you go to some other guys and then, you know, you probably – they don't even notice you or something like that.
No, it's fine. I'm okay with it. I'm fine.
Oh, okay, good. All right, good.
Yeah.
Now, my thing is – I want to be wholesome. I want to be right. I want to be upright as I can, and deal with a person, whoever that person is. I want to be the same good person to them, right?
Right.
Now, what I am I'm saying now, the question I ask you about being a human. I ask you about the source.
Mm-hmm.
You still haven't answered that. You say
well,
a lot
look,
of things.
I may not have
answered
it to your satisfaction, but I think I answered it quite definitively. I believe the Genesis record of God, I believe that human beings, based on their complexity and their existence, were created by a supernatural
being. I said source. I ask you for the source to prove that you are a human.
That is the source. And all humans, like one of the definition of a species is for fertile, a male and a female, to be able to produce fertile offspring. So,
no, but
see,
I'm talking about a book with authority on humanity, which is
one would have to do is just look one up. I've probably read several of them, not recently,
but
I'm giving you... I'm giving you the digested rendition of what you are asking. And see, understand, if I may be so bold as to approach the bench and say to you, you've got to be a little bit more L-I-T-H-E, live. You tend to be somewhat inflexible. Now, if you have something better, please present it. But you kind of hound a person for something that only you know. And that's fine, but you should go ahead and divulge it. I'm telling you that all human beings, unlike any other species, are unique. Like you take a hummingbird and an ostrich. They're both birds, but
they can't reproduce.
All fertile human beings, by scientific nomenclature, are of the same species. So evidently you have some knowledge, some hidden knowledge.
Oh, gosh, Lord of mercy.
But, you won't say what it is. You keep asking the same question.
Oh, bro, listen, I think when you tell me that asking a question about humanity, that I'm not talking regular talk.
What is the answer to your question?
I put it to you and humanity, and you're cutting me off for asking a question about humanity like I shouldn't be.
Wait a minute. I'm not understanding you at all there. You got to repeat that.
I asked you a question about humanity. If a person is not a human, what are they?
Right. And I told you, human beings are homo sapiens, humans, all of one blood.
No, all human beings,
as long as you get the same blood type, they can give blood to each other. So, that would be my definition, both medically, scientifically.
Why do they have a book called World History? Why?
Why do they have a book called what? World History?
World History. Why?
Wait a minute. You got to get closer to your mic. What?
A book called World History.
Yeah, World History. Okay, fine. There are several of those. And
but
you asked me what is a human, right? That's what you asked me? Well, the Greek word is anthropos, mankind.
I'm asking you definitely, what is the reason or purpose for a world, is what you call it now, universal world history of humanity?
Now, that's
why
a complicated question.
Why do they have it?
I can't answer that right offhand.
You can't answer that.
It would be for the purpose of understanding the human and human history better. That would be my basic definition.
All right, hold it now. Hold it. Chinese, if I say, are there a people called Chinese, what would you say?
Yeah, sure. That's a landmass.
Okay, good. And who do you expect to not know that answer? Ooh.
Well, wait a minute. But that's based on a landmass, China, from which the Chinese originate or live. So, yeah.
So you expect people everywhere should understand that there are Chinese, right?
Well, those who would know, no. Everybody doesn't know that. But basically,
but do you expect people around the world to know Chinese?
No. Well, yeah, there are isolated people in various places who don't know about the Chinese.
I'm not talking in general, bro. In general.
Well, yeah, I agree in general,
all right,
sure.
And do you expect people to understand me if I talk about humanity?
Well, not in the narrow way that you're probably speaking, because I don't even understand. Okay, I'm a fairly aware guy, and I don't understand what you want. I know you are an educator, but in this particular instance, I haven't a clue as to what you are grappling for.
All right, hold it there. Look, I have a high school diploma, and I have a certificate of paralegal. That's all the education that I have, right? So listen to me. I read pretty much, maybe more than quite a few people on my level, and I am telling you that my specialty is what is in words, because I realize the power is in words, and if you are going to deal with me and you sloppy with words, I know things about words that is going to put you in a lot of trouble, bro.
Well, if you think I'm sloppy with words, right, you're the first person who's ever expressed that. The first. Congratulations.
And why that is so? Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can think. Well, I take that back. I could think of a word. You may be a little bit arrogant. What do you think? Were you familiar with the thesaurus?
No.
Okay. You should become familiar with the thesaurus because it's very helpful. It divides the English language into three categories: antonyms, synonyms, and homonyms. Or to be alphabetical, are antonyms, homonyms, and synonyms, right?
Okay.
Those are
okay.
The three classifications of English words as found in a thesaurus.
Okay.
And a
okay.
thesaurus gives gives definitions.
All
but
right.
that's
no,
the
no,
beauty
no.
of being familiar with the thesaurus is
okay,
I pointed
I
out
that.
To you two other words.
I understand that.
Two other? Okay, good. I thought
right,
you should.
Listen to me.
That's the reason. Let me just say this. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go on.
Some people say that they don't like the English language.
right?
Oh, the English language, let me just express a couple of points on that. The English language is the international business language.
Wait, before you do that. There's a reason why I brought it up, okay? So I have something behind it to say to you. You with me?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. I say some people say they don't like me, and especially people like my ethnic group, they don't like, they have a bias against, you know, English. English. It's English? Yeah, English, right?
English. It's a form of English because you have English. English is spoken in England, but basically it's very similar. Go ahead.
All right, good. Now, listen, I don't agree with anybody who knock any language. And the reason is because anybody can make up a language and use it if they can. You won't be able if you are not coming into the general use of language. But you can use it among any group or anybody that you want to use it. Because the words carry a meaning. And as long as you can connect it to something, you can use it and communicate. Good? So I don't see any reason why anybody would give against the English language. I say to them, look at the amount of people in the world that use the English language. And people who go to university and everything that is computer. And I said, has anybody ever failed to graduate from a university or a college because they are using English language? And nobody has ever failed anything using English language. So I'm different from a lot of people in the way I think. I know what the juice that is in any word that you use. All right? So what I'm trying to say to you, you probably, because you don't talk to people like me every day, you will find it difficult with stuff that I will hold out on you on. It's because I know words like tell you stop right here. Word tell you what to do. And all of us must know what to do. When we don't know, to whatever extent we don't know, we create problems. Once it is in the language that we are using generally, right? So I will tell you this, that in court a few years ago, I was representing myself in a case. And it was a discrimination case. I was suing my lawyer. And it was over a federal case, discrimination case, right? And at the end, the judge dismissed my case. It was about against a corporation and a union that I was in. So when it came down to the dismissal of the case in the federal court, I had two lawyers on the case, and one went off, and I had another one, right? So the case ended with this one, who felt good about the case and thought that the case was good. Well, the judge dismissed these people anyway. And he said he doesn't understand why the judge dismissed the case, right? Because the case was good, as far as we all know. So after about 6 months, when he filed the case, he wasn't able to prove to me that he had appealed the case. So I bought the file from him, and I wanted to find some lawyer to sue him for malpractice. I didn't find anybody, so I decided to say, well, I'm going to do it myself. And then I filed the petition in the court. And he came with a motion to dismiss it. He failed to dismiss it. So I began discovery. And the first person and the only witness I had was the federal judge. So serve a summons for him to come to the deposition that I was going to depose him. I was going to depose him. And he wrote me a letter and saying he's not coming because he has something to do that, and you know, he won't be able to come to the deposition. So I just know that he take me for a joker. So I go to the circuit court where I file a case and petition the court, which is a woman named Kokalis. That's in downtown Broward County in Florida. So the circuit court judge deny my motion to compel the judge to come to the deposition. So
you mean the attorney?
Eh?
You mean the attorney?
No. I file a subpoena on the federal judge to come to a deposition that I was going to take of him.
Oh, wait a minute. You were trying to get the judge subpoenaed?
The federal judge. Yeah,
okay.
I did. I did. I subpoena him. Yeah. Yeah, for real. So I'm telling you, when he wrote me that letter and said he cannot come to my deposition, I file a motion to the circuit court where I file the case to compel him the next time to come to, I set another schedule for the deposition. And that judge denied my motion to compel him.
Right.
Now, she's a lower category judge, right? And she's seen that I want to depose this higher-ranking federal judge, right?
Right.
And she perhaps don't give a darn about bringing that judge, right? I mean, the federal judge. She don't want to bring him in, right? And me, I am just a little black boy, right? I'm not a lawyer, right? And she's not going to do it. So I knew, I just walk out of our chamber, and I went home. I knew what I was going to do. When I'm walking out of her courtroom, I knew what I was going to do, but I never said anything. I could try and argue with her, and she could have put me in a jail for 6 months for, you know, I mean, doing what we call it, disorderly conduct or something like that. So I knew to shut my mouth and go home and do what I want to do. I know what I wanted to do, my friend. You know what I wanted to do?
What?
Yes.
Well, I guess you wanted the judge to be compelled to deposition, but since
what do you,
you
think
weren't
I
able
do?
To, but since you weren't able to do that, I'm not sure. Tell me.
All right, good. Let me tell you. I was going to write her a letter. You see
okay.
What I mean?
All right.
And the greatest damage that I could do is write her a letter and tell her what I want to tell her.
Okay.
So I went home and write a foolscap letter. And I tell her, look, if she's covering for a crook, she's a crook herself.
Well, I'm glad you didn't tell her that while you were present. That was a good move. That was your better move, right?
Wait, say what?
That was your better move to criticize her while you had your body there, your soma.
I'm wiser than that.
It was good that you didn't do that because you
that didn't cross my mind, man.
Well,
I'm
you said it. Okay,
that.
Go ahead. Yes. All right. Fair enough.
When I did that, I came back and hand her a copy. I give the chief judge a letter, and I think I file a copy with the clerk. And maybe like a week or so ago, she sent the letter to the state attorney to come investigate me. And the state attorney sent two sheriffs to come to my house.
Right.
And then they didn't get to come to my house because they realized I was on the roster to have an oral argument with a judge in the court.
Right. I think she perceived that as a threat, but go ahead. What do I know?
You mean, oh, what, a threat? A threat?
Your letter, yeah. Your letter possibly was perceived as a threat.
Yes, you're right about that. But
yeah, I think so, yes.
But no, but I'm going to show you when you're dealing with ducks than when you're dealing with you know, eagles. You see what I mean?
So what happened? I'm interested. I'm waiting with bated breath. What happened?
All right, good. I know I'm coming with it. I'm not holding you out all night. Now, listen. The cops came to me and told me that they were sent by the state attorney to talk to me about the threat that I made against the judge.
Right.
I asked the cops, where is the evidence of the threat? They said, they didn't show me anything. They said to me that the state attorney believed that I am threatening the judge. I said to the cop, if the state attorney believes that I am threatening the judge,
mm-hmm.
the state attorney cannot use words right at all.
Mm.
I mean, not to every extent.
Wait. You don't mean use words. You mean interpret words, because you're talking about the state's attorney interpreting what the letter you had written to the judge, correct?
So what y'all said there, are you saying she's interpreting it don't mean she's using the word?
No. What I'm saying is both the judge and the state attorney whom she turned the letter over to were interpreting your letter as a threat to the judge, correct?
I understand that, but are you saying you can't have the both? She's using it and interpreting it at the same time?
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Say that part again. You can't have what?
You say they were not using the word. But that meaning excluding it to only being interpreted and not used. You're not right on that.
Okay.
So they
I'm not exactly sure. See, you're confusing me just a little bit.
No, but I'm going ahead. All right. You see, you're trying to like keep.
Wait, no. I'm probably saying you didn't threaten. You probably didn't threaten the judge,
wait,
but your
no,
words
no,
were
no,
so
let
harsh.
Let it play out. Look, what I'm trying to say to you, I respond to the cops and said, the state attorney cannot use words correctly.
Okay.
All right. So then they say, but the judge thinks that I am threatening her.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, but go ahead.
What's this now? I respond to them and said, well, if the judge thinks that I am threatening her, then she cannot use words right either.
Okay.
All right. What did they do? What did the cops do at that stage? What do you think they did when I tell them that?
Well, the cops have some discretion, so they just figured it was a dispute. You probably didn't threaten the judge, but the judge just interpreted your harsh words as threatening. That's what I'm going to speculate.
Well, you're right. You're right about that. But listen to me. Listen to me. Who is the duck here? Is it me? We're talking about English, and no matter who you are, they understand my English words, and they are putting it and say it's a bodily threat. And when I asked them to point it out, they didn't make an effort to do it.
Right, because they probably couldn't.
All right.
You probably didn't threaten her, but she interpreted it that way. So you have two issues here.
I want you.
You also
to
have the
now.
Issue of power.
Do me a favor, your friend, and tell me who's the duck from who's the eagle.
Right, but listen, I get your point. But what you need to understand, and I think you do, it's not just a matter of what was actually said. It's a matter of what one interpreted what was said and what power they have to do, what they were able to do. So she had the power to send the cops out there, regardless as to whether or not you actually made a threat.
And listen to me. Thanks, but no thanks. The fact is, you're talking about the high court, the court itself, and a state attorney and police, the three body of people.
No, I understand what you're saying. I do.
So,
but they don't know you even the way I do.
I'm asking you, who is the duck and who is the eagle?
Well, I think that's kind of clear from what you're saying. They misunderstood you. They shouldn't have. But they could take it out on you because they had the power to do so. So.
And look, that judge now, the federal judge, I got him in the next schedule. He came. He came to the deposition the next time, right?
Look at you. I've never heard of that specifically. I've been to court a lot, and I've heard of recusing a judge, but you bring up an interesting twist. So go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
When I catch him in the deposition, I ask him a few questions. It was for about like maybe 25 minutes or 30 minutes. And I ask him a certain question. Did they made an offer in the case, to pay me? Because he dismissed the case like it was no good, right? So I'm scratching him out and said, did they make an offer? And he said, no, he made a wrong turn because he thinks I don't have any sense and I won't be able to prove nothing. I had the letter in my case. And three times him tell me no, that they did not make no offer. Three times. And then I pull it out and I gave it to him. I show him the envelope. And he looked at the letter and he read it. And he did tell me when I was questioning him, he tell me that he assured me that he look and review the file before he came out that morning. So he know very well that nothing was in there, according to him. But now I'm proving him wrong. Saying here. And then when he read it, he look up at me and said, he's sorry. He forget.
Okay.
So that's the way that works out, man. Okay? So look, when you're talking to me, you must be careful.
So did you win? Did you get compensation? What happened?
I almost got it. Believe me. I don't want to tell you to believe me because I don't take it for what it is. Look, he had to come back to the trial, the judge. He had to come back and testify at the trial. I was representing myself. You'd like to see me there, boy.
I'm sure you were a sight to behold.
Look here. Right. You see where, I am the less, but look, when you are the greater, and you can't come in there and beat me in that bout, you're going to have hell because I ain't going to fear you. You are the champion. Beat me. Okay, so I question him and get what I want out of him. But guess what? I was inexperienced. I'm not no lawyer, nothing like that. So what happened? I got what I want. I wanted him on the record. That's what I want. I refused $10,000 to not take that case to court. But because I want him on the record, I didn't take it. Right? And I could use the money, but I didn't take it because I think in the long run, I'm going to be more well spent on there because he's an adversary. So, all the bailiff was inside there was really, really telling me how good I did and everything. But when the jury went out, they filed a motion against me. And I came up short. I needed 3 points to beat them, and I only had 2. And that was how they got away from me, man. So look.
So you actually, this of course was a civil trial, and you had a jury representation.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, no, I have respect for you, but realize I have, if I may say so, I have great respect for the law. The law works in most of the time. I mean, it's not a perfect system, but it's the best system that we have. And I have nothing but positive regard for the law.
Let
I mean,
me
that's been my
Let
experience.
Where your law come from? A.D. Anno Domini, right?
I'm sorry, say again?
Where was your law and government created? When? Where? And by whom?
Well, I'm just speaking of, well, our law, okay, it's interesting the question you ask. You're kind of derailing me. But our law, most of our laws here are digested from English common law, most of them.
You know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Real good. I mean, I'm trying
and
to
And a lot
over.
Of our law is actually based on the scriptures. You know, in the
all
Supreme
right, right.
Court, they
and
have
you know
the
what?
Ten Commandments. Now, I've never seen this, but I've heard
it
from credible sources.
Hold it right there. We are out of time. Look, I want to tell you something. I want to ask you, are you going to come back and visit me soon?
Well, I'll visit you again. I'll mark what today is. Today is Thursday, yes. So I'll recall this. And, yeah, I'll come back and visit. Well, look here. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you after this long time. And
yeah.
I will come back again. And thank you very much.
Deep in my heart, for real, I really enjoy you coming back, man. It's really, really, really good, man. I'm telling you. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. God bless, and you have a great rest of your day.
Blessings to you too, man. Okay? Take good care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Yes. All right. Well, you know, this is something else. I tell you, my friend, Mr. Solution, I'm so glad that he come by. So glad. This is a good time. And I thank you for tuning to the program, my friends. And hope that you enjoy this type of chat. You know, we used to talk, and then, you know, we kind of, somehow we lose connection. I was so happy. I didn't get to say a lot of things, but I have enough time now to tell basically what I wanted to tell. Wait a minute. What's going on here? What is going on? This is... Where is... Listen. The only thing that I have here is... Okay, all right. This is, okay, all right, now I got it. Okay, here is what I had as the center feature of the program today. Coming on at the end, and I once again, I thank you for tuning into the program, and I'm going to try and just say some of this, which is why I'm here today. The earliest known written record, history of China, dated from 1250 BC. A lot of people might not know much about Chinese, and a lot of our ethnic group people, the white people put us apart. They do all kind of stuff to divide us, but listen, we are on the rise, and we are going to overcome back to our place. All right. The earliest known written record of the history in China date from as early as 1250 BC from the Chang dynasty, 1600 to 1046 BC. During the reign of King, if I told you that from Africa, The hybrid people is a mix of ethnic group of people. The Indian, the Chinese, the Arabs, so forth and so on. We are hybrid people. About maybe a dozen or so of us, different groups. Yes. All right. So now, so this is, we are ruled over by kings. Yeah, we are hybrid people and ruled over by king. Kingship government. That's right. Okay, so what these white people come in and talking about AD Anno Domini, they got to get their what's it not out of our territory, because we're serious. Get out or else the gods is going to obliterate on us. You're over there in Syria and all over the place destroying our species. Get out, because that's all we're going to pray to do, to wipe you out. Go back to Europe. This is not a hatred talk. I'm telling you, get out of our territory, because that's all we're going to pray for. Yes, let the demons in of you lead you back to where you come from, because we don't want to know around us. Okay? You think you're bad. Let's see how bad you're going to be. Don't distress yourself. We're did Chinese originate from? Originally come from? Where? Do you know? No, you only know us in the Western world. Where were we before we come to the Western world? In Africa? South Africa? Right? As its genetic origin, Chinese has its genetic origin in Africa, according to research released today. Scientists say prehistory humans may have migrated east across Southeast Asia and then turned north to settled China. You hear that? Me never know, about the way they lead out from Africa. But I know that's how it happened back into 100,000 years ago. All right, let's go on. Now, it goes on to say, continuing the dead. No, not continuing, but counting the dead. That's so much for the Chinese in the Western Hemisphere, right? You know that they come from Africa, right? And they rule by the Elohim gods. So these white folks that is talking about, they behave like they did not come from Europe and come to the Western world. They want it to seem like, they were only in Europe all the time and how they come to the Western world. They don't want to talk about it. We're going to talk about it, okay? And how they become humans and human and all them kind of things, all right? So it goes on that counting the dead. Who is counting? Who are the dead people they are killing? Chinese, Indian, all of what? All of us, people of hybrid blood people. These white people are killing us out and spreading their bad blood among us because they decide they're going to take over the world with sodomy. Okay? They make law to be fucking each other's assholes. Federal law. You can't do it in our territory because we going to call the gods down, that you going to have to go one way or the other. The gods will put you out because you don't have anything to do with us. And you're going to find out if that's the way it's going to go. Does the gods, when we ask them to take you out, will they put you out? Are you going to say you're talking about you are A.D. Anadamani? You find out what A.D. Anadamani is. All right, let me go on with this and tell you about how these sodomite white people don't want to do anything besides kill us out. Okay? Now, so it goes on to say, in addition to the deadly impact of diseases, wars, and genocide, Thornton has emphasized that many indigenous nations, including the Chinese, right? All of us, in what is today United States, were removed, relocated, dispersed, concentrated, or forced to migrate at least once after contact with Europeans or Americans. And he has observed that the forced removal of over 100,000 people to areas west of the Mississippi River during the first half of the 19th century direct resulted in significant loss of life. Moreover, such removal and relocations destroyed indigenous people's way of life, which resulted in substantial additional loss of life. Other devastation, assaults of these ways of life included the Spanish missions in California, Florida, and Texas. The U.S. government's attempts to make Plains Indians into cattle ranchers and Southern Indians into American farmers. Efforts by churches and governments to undermine Indian religious, governmental, and kingship systems. The often deliberate destructions of flora, fauna that Indian Americans use for food and other purposes. The near distinction of the buffalo, widespread starvation and malnutrition, the deleterious effects of forced labor, alcoholism, demoralization and despair, declining fertility, and other factors also contributed to the indigenous Holocaust. You don't want to know no more than that. This is what these white people are doing. They're trying to like turn them, you know, the institution of the world into whatever they want. And now I realize that there's hardly anybody who see anything happening outside of sodomite fucking asshole white people. And that if you don't see what they are doing, they are smashing our people, like in Israel, in Syria, Yeah. And all around the world, they're killing out our people to plant sodomite everywhere, if you don't know. Okay? All right. We'll see. We will see. If they decided they're not coming out from our territories, yeah, we will see what the gods do. And I want to thank you for tuning into the program. Take good care. And let's see. Let's attune and call it a day. Call it an edition. And thank you for tuning into the program.
A better nation. Clean up, Jah creation. many. But fools die for want of wisdom. The rich man's wealth is ill-fitting. Fixation of the soul is vanity. Destruction of poor people is poverty. The poor man's wealth is in a holy, holy place.
Okay, all right. I mean, you tell me that you told me like about last Sunday or something like that. No. I don't think, if you did, I'm not aware of it. Yes? Oh, you're with someone? Oh, you did call me. You call me first, and then I call you back. And then you were saying, like, you had something, you know, you were doing. Yeah, you're right, right. I don't, you know, I'm not aware of that, if you did. You know. That's good, right? But no, there's no big deal now, you know, we connect now. No, we don't need to get that far with it. Well, you know what? I am developing my psychological brain here because, you know, I don't get everything what you said here. I mean, come out a little. No, it's not that. I think it's probably because what the words that you're using is like they're going very rapid, fast, and things like that.
All right, no, but no, I don't. My ear is not all the best hearing either. So you know what I mean. So so, but it's like you were speaking it fast, you know. I hear you clear now. I hear exactly what you said. No, but I think it, I don't. You know what? I was hearing you at a medium where I think if you were saying it like you just did a while ago.
Yeah.
Well, look here. Mm-hmm. Well, look here. What I was telling you about right now, a lot of people have problems with other issues of life, with other people and things like that. But I don't have no people issues that is bothering me. I have me as a bother, you know. Because because let me tell you this now. My understanding of our child, maybe my hand may probably move across the phone. You hear me better now? All right, yeah. My fingers, they seem to, it's a little cordless for it, so it seems like a lot of time when I hold it, my finger is getting comfortable or it in that position and begin to like interfering, you know what I mean? Oh, really? I don't know why that. All right, but what I was trying to say to you is that there's something about us people that we don't get to realize growing up in the environment that we grew up in. You see? Yeah, I'm being general. Well, yes, and when we say human beings, we are saying something specific, too. And within that specific, you feel what? Yeah, but listen. When you say human, it's not everybody you see and think is human, you know. Well. No, but wait, when you're done with the phone, man, I'm not hearing you or getting you good. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, but the human is, I'm telling you something that is historically factual, you know, that if you don't get to read it and know, you will think it's strange, you know what I mean? And think like it is some kind of an idea that people pick up somewhere and not into it. But it is a fact that what I have read now in history about white people are not that, they're species. When you get to the species as to where they're coming from in antiquity, they're not coming from human species, you know. And his interference with us in 100,000 years ago, when we were just leaving Africa to come to the Western Hemisphere, is something they did that caused their blood to be, and I think it's something sexual they did, according to the history, called backcrossing, introgression. With the climate? Why? Okay. Mm. Come on. Mm.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm.